I want to speak a message here in 12 minutes. That's my goal, 12 minutes. How many have confidence that I can do it in 12 minutes? All right. I'm going to get right to it. I want to talk to you about courage, the courage that we can find in the Lord. I'm going to start with a couple questions. One, well, we need courage for all kinds of things, right? We need courage sometimes just to ask for help or a favor. We need courage to go to the dentist. Yeah, some of us. We need courage to maybe ask someone on a date or try a new food or try any new thing sometimes. We need courage to go for an interview. How many like interviews? Yeah. How about public speaking? Need courage for public speaking? Yeah? Sylvia back there who preached not too long ago. Sometimes we just need courage to speak up, right? It might not be public speaking, but just to speak up and share our opinion, especially when it's not the popular one. Sometimes we need courage to tell the truth, courage to confess something, courage to ask for forgiveness or say sorry. Sometimes it takes courage just to talk to your spouse or your kids about something. And I'm not talking that everyday stuff. I'm talking about some of the things that are deeper and more important to us and some of the more difficult conversations. Those can take courage. And what's the hardest word in the English language? Some would say sorry. Some say the word no. It can be really hard to say no. But you know what? It can take just as much courage to say the word yes sometimes. And when we're looking at our walk with God, sometimes saying yes takes some courage. How many of you out there really are just so swelled up with courage, you just have so much coming out of you that you will just walk into any situation with boldness and confidence, even if it's unfamiliar to you, even if it's scary, even if it's got all kinds of unknowns to it, maybe it's even dangerous, but how many of you have so much courage you just will walk right in just confident? Some of us, nobody has that much courage. So how many of us could do with a little more courage? Yeah, when it comes to walking our faith and living our life for God, we could all use a little more courage. And I've been stuck a little bit on Numbers 13 and 14 all week, as I talked about that last Sunday. But the reason it's been on my mind so much, it's because here God had delivered them out of Egypt, taken them through the desert, and set them all up as his people. Now he gets them to the threshold of the promised land. The threshold, like they're standing right there. The land's out there. They just got to cross over into it. And God says, I want you to put an army together, count your men, put them together, and I want you to send out some men to do some reconnaissance. Go and check out the land. And so they did. They sent a leader from each tribe, and they checked out the land for 40 days, checking out the land, the people, the cities, and coming back. And as we know, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, and 10 were bad and 2 were good. You sang that song growing up? All right. So those 10 came back, and everyone agreed, all 12 agreed, that this was good land. This was exceedingly good. This God wasn't kidding when he said this was his promised land. But 10 of them said, but we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't go into that promised land because it is filled with these giant of men. These are warriors. These are strong people. We can't go in there. And they rebelled against God. They turned their hearts away, and they said, we can't do it. There's no way we're going to go in there. And it's so sad because there they were on the threshold of all the promises of God. That's where God had intended them to be. That's where he had promised them. That's what he promised them. And yet they didn't cross over. They got afraid. And they turned back, and they actually grumbled and cried out, we're going to pick a new leader, and they're going to take us somewhere else. That's Numbers chapter 14. But we also see that other two in Numbers chapter 14. And that's Joshua and Caleb. And if you want a picture of courage and faith, Joshua and Caleb are them. And they saw the grumblings. They saw all of Israel coming together in unbelief and wanting to rebel and go the other direction. And Moses and Aaron, all they could do at that point, those were the leaders, all they could do is, it says they fell on their faces before the Lord, or before the people. They fell on their faces. But Joshua and Caleb, they got up and they stood before everyone, and they knew their words weren't the popular ones, but they said, we've got to share this message. This land is exceedingly good. And it says they tore their clothes. Listen to us. You know, God is with us. He's against them. He's not with them anymore. He's with us. So do not be afraid of them. Twice they said in that talk, do not be afraid of them. God is with us. He's going to give us the land. And they had the courage to stand up and speak that message. Now, none of them listened. And God ended up saying, well, then that generation is not going into the promised land. He said, that's it. That generation is going to die in the desert. I'm going to wait till the children grow up, and then we're going to go in. I talked about that last Sunday. But Joshua and Caleb, they were people of faith because their confidence was in the Lord. They had courage because their confidence was in the Lord. You know, the truth was they didn't have any military training. They had been slaves just like everyone else. And they, you know, if you look at the physical, the odds were against them. But they had a confidence in the Father. The actual definition of confidence is having a belief that you can rely on someone or something. They had confidence. They had a belief that they could rely on God, and it gave them courage. It gave them courage. But there was missed opportunity. You know, it actually surprises me sometimes how... Oh, I'll get to that. Let's turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Am I to 12 minutes yet? Checking. Okay, you know, you realize that when I get to 12 minutes, that's my message, and then I still have room for the conclusion, right? Yeah, in closing, three closings. All right. Yeah. That's definitely a Pentecostal thing. Anyways, I'm losing my time here. Anyways, Joshua chapter 1. This Moses, the servant of the Lord, had died, and the Lord said to Joshua, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. And jumping to verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give them. Verse 7, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get the supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan. Here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Get ready, get ready. Be strong and courageous. Three times the Lord said, now is the time, now is the time. You know, I do not like the feeling of missed opportunity. I don't think any of us like the idea of the feeling of missed opportunity. And yet, I know that there have been times where that happens. And here we see two generations. We see one generation that was on the threshold of all the wonderful things God wanted to give them, and they didn't have the faith to step over. And then we have this generation led by Joshua, who kept his faith and kept his eyes on the Lord and says, our God can do it. Now the Lord speaks to him and says, go, don't turn to the left or right, just march right in, be strong and courageous. Three times he says in this passage, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Maybe turn to somebody beside you and say, be strong and courageous. I don't do that very often. Once in a while, you have to just say it to somebody. Be strong and courageous. They were able to And that's exactly what they did. They were able to walk right in. You know, it's when we look at Joshua, we realize that he wasn't a military man. He had been a slave in chapter 14 of Numbers, just like everyone else. And yet he was able to put his confidence in the Lord, and as a result, he had courage. He had courage. You know, it's the same as the story of David and Goliath. When you look at that story and realize that Goliath was a giant, he was a warrior, he had experience in battle. And when he came out and taunted the Israelites, Saul, King Saul and all the Israelites, it says they hid themselves. They were scared. They looked at this man and he was a giant, a warrior, and they were all scared of him. You look at, compare them, they didn't measure up. Like they didn't. Same as David. When David came, he couldn't have matched him. He didn't quite measure up either, but the difference was is that he had confidence in his God. That was the only difference between David and the rest of them, is that he believed that his God was the one who would win the battle. My God will take you down, Goliath. And that's exactly what happened. Our courage and our confidence only goes so far in ourselves, but God is calling us into a work and a service that is God-sized, and he is wanting us to rely on him. Take up your arms and join into my service, into my work. You know that mankind was created to do the work of the king? We are created to be in the service of the king. So often we look at work as being a negative thing. But you know what Jesus said to his disciples one day? He had just finished talking to the Samaritan woman. The other disciples had gone in for food. And they come back and they're urging Jesus to eat something. But he says in John chapter 4, verse 32, he said, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then he said to his disciples, said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" And then Jesus replied, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That was his food. There was something about doing the work of the Lord that nourished him, that fed him, that filled him, and provided for him. Or my food is to do the will of the Father. There's an incredible comparison in the scripture here, because as those old generation Israelites didn't have the courage to step over, what we see is that somehow they missed the fact that God was with them. Or we see all the time how the two people can grow up in the similar situations, and one will come to faith and one will not. Both can grow up in the church, hear the wonders of God, see the miracles of God, and one will stray away from God and the other one won't. I don't know how that works. And here the Israelites were the same. The old generation, they could have got up every morning and says, "Wow, this manna is on the ground again. The miraculous provision of God to feed us every single day. It was there every morning." They could have said, "Wow, there it is again this morning." And they could have lived with an understanding of God's power and wonders and his blessing every single day and had faith in their heart. But somewhere along the line, they took it for granted, forgot that they were experiencing the blessing of God every day. And so when the opportunity came, they didn't have any faith. And yet, someone else can come along and see the blessings of God on their life every single day. And when the opportunity comes to follow God, they say, "Yes, I can follow God. I can trust him. I'm going to have courage because my God has been there for me." And you know what? The incredible thing is, as they entered into the service, as they enter into the work that God had for him, I'm talking about the new generation of Israelites, as they crossed into the Jordan in Joshua chapter 5, it says there that they stopped and they experienced that they had the Passover meal. And the next day, it says that they ate of the fruit of the land. They entered into the land and they ate of the fruit. Now, the old generation, all they knew was manna, 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 and God's wonderful provision there with manna. But now, after they had eaten the fruit of the new land, what happened? The manna stopped. The manna stopped. Why? Because they were experiencing that new food. Oh, that would have tasted so good after 40 years of manna. Would have tasted so good. You know, and there is something about being hungry and being filled, and we can all relate to a filled stomach, right? And the good taste of food on our lips. And that is exactly what God was trying to bring them to all along. And one generation missed out, and the other generation was able to walk in and experience experience that. When Jesus talks about his food being to do the will and the work of the Father, if we are needing a reason to move forward with courage in the things that God has for us, if we need a reason to move forward, it's because he's got something so good. It's going to fill us. It's going to be our bread. It's going to be the thing that just keeps us going and fills us and makes us satisfied. One, we have courage in the Lord because we have courage because we can have confidence in the Lord. We rely on him who will never leave us nor forsake us. He goes before us. It's his battle. We can have courage in the Lord knowing that he has good purposes for us. As we enter into his work and service, he has good things in store for us. And thirdly, we can have courage in the Lord because we are investing in our future, the promised land. Scripture says that we can store up treasure in heaven when we do the will of the Father. We're contributing to the kingdom of God. We're contributing to our own future and to the glory of God. We have reason to be confident. As Christians, we should be the most confident and courageous people in the world, right? As Christians, we should be the most confident and courageous people in the world. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way? We should. Because not only do we see God's blessing every day, we can even look back in hindsight and see what God has already done for us. We can see that he came as a person of Jesus and died for us. Easter's coming soon. We're going to be remembering and focusing on Jesus' death, but also his resurrection. We can know God's love for us in the person of Jesus. We can know how far God is willing to go for us in the person of Jesus. He's willing to die for us. We can see the power of God and what's available to us because of his resurrection. We have every reason to be confident and move forward with courage in the work and service of the King. And we are called to what? Love our neighbors. Love those around us. We are called to go into all the world, preaching the good news, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that Jesus has commanded us to do. It's hard sometimes to step out into the unknown. It's sometimes hard to step out into unfamiliar territory. I mean, I'm going to use Kyron and Jessica for a second because when they first started coming, Kim and I said, well, we should get to know them a little bit and we'll invite them over for supper or dessert and games. I don't remember what it was. Probably dessert and games. That's safer. When you don't know someone, right? We didn't know what they were like. We were going into uncharted territory, and they could have been strange people. I don't know, but they're really actually kind of cool. But you don't know that unless you step out with boldness and courage, right? You know, it can be difficult for us to step out and share the gospel with a stranger. It can be difficult even to invite somebody new over for a meal. But we're called to enter into the work and service of the King. We can have courage knowing that as we go, he goes before us. We have courage because when we do so, we don't do so in vain. And whether you think your ministry is big or small, it doesn't matter. As long as you're contributing to the work and service of the King. If you think making cookies is a small thing, I know that cookies can show someone that they're loved. They can build friendships. And I know friendships lead to conversations. And I know conversations lead to people finding Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Right? So we could say there's not enough cookies being made in the world today. You're not surprised to hear me say that, are you? We need to realize that we need to move forward in courage into the calling and work and service of the King. And it's a good thing. He's going to bring us into a good land with good fruit. And we get to share in all that God is doing in this world. So lift up the name of Jesus and do so with courage and confidence. Turn to him and say, Lord, what can I do for you today? Give me boldness, give me courage. And let me conclude with that this morning and pray. Let me just speak that over you. Father, this morning, I pray that we would be your people filled with strength, boldness, and courage to move into uncharted territories, to move into the land of Canaan, Lord, the areas of this world that are dark, messy, in areas that where people don't know you, where people are lost. May we move into those places with courage and not hesitate, knowing that you are in charge, you have good things, and that there is a good future. I pray, Father, that you would place this message deep in our hearts, that we can fully and truly rely on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.